You know, it's much easier to spot a bald eagle in Wisconsin these days, and we're going to be talking about why that's the case and where you have a good chance of seeing them. Larry Mueller here. Thanks for joining us on the Ideas Network. Great to have back Jeb Barzin with us. He's a wildlife biologist, worked in the at the International Crane Foundation for over 28 years, has been a member of the Fairy Bluff Eagle Council for over 30. Jeb, good to see you.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be here.
Also, Lisa Gomnitz is an outreach and communications specialist. We go back a long way from some earlier times in school. She is with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, has been there a long time. She helps coordinate and publicize information regarding bald eagles in the state and community events celebrating their comeback. Bald Eagle Watching Days is this weekend, and so we'll tell you all about that. Lisa, good to see you.
Great. Great to see you, Larry, and thanks for having me on. It's just such a great pleasure to talk about this great endangered species comeback and these events that help celebrate this majestic bird. So
yeah.
I don't know if it's appropriate to start, but we did just find out about a few changes to the events, and would it be all right to start by just talking about those to make sure that people know that? Or
yeah, we can talk a little about those. It's this weekend. The Fairy Bluff Eagle Council's got its thing going, right, Jeb?
And yep. Eagle Watching Days is Friday, this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. The primary part for visitors coming to the Sauk Prairie area is going to be on Saturday. There's some evening programs on for schools on Friday, and but the main events are all on Saturday.
Yeah, and there's some changes coming in those, Lisa?
Yes, we just heard actually from some of the organizers there was a planned eagle release Saturday at 1 p.m. of a rehabilitated eagle by the Raptor Education Group folks, and we just heard that they've had to postpone that due to the weather, and so that will not be occurring Saturday at 1 o'clock, but you know, people will be able to catch that at a later date. So
yeah,
that's the main change.
And we might, you know, we might try to put in another program that would be in the River Arts Center at that 1 o'clock slot, and mm-hmm. so we'll see. So people can be appraised, and when they come into the River Arts Center, everything's free, and they can ask then if there's what the changes are to the schedule.
Well, I tell you what, we'll give our listeners a chance to join in. If you have questions about eagles, or maybe you have questions about eagle watching days, I hope you'll join in. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. Lisa, I was looking at a couple of maps. On occupied eagle, bald eagle nests from 1974 versus 2019. And it's like world of difference. There's a lot more.
It is. It's pretty amazing. If you look at the maps, and I understand those are on your webpage. They've been posted to the webpage.
Yeah, go to ideas at wpr.org/Larry.
You'll see that there's just, you know, some nests scattered across northern Wisconsin. And then when you look at the maps that I had our eagle coordinator pull together for 2019, you see it's filled in all across the state. We have bald eagle nests in 71 of the 72 counties. The only one that we don't know of a nest yet is Milwaukee County. So it's just kind of an amazing success story. And Jeb certainly can talk a lot about how that happened over the years.
Yeah, and it's such a success story, Jeb. I mean, oh, my goodness.
Oh, it is. And let's make this success complete. So I want to challenge all the residents in Milwaukee to be out there looking for eagles, because I'll bet dollars to donuts that there is an eagle nest in Milwaukee County.
I mean, with the parks, there could be one right in Milwaukee. The park system that Milwaukee has is unparalleled as far as I'm concerned.
Absolutely. You know, one of the things that's just amazing about these nests is, you know, as Lisa described, in 1974, there is a scattering of eagle nests in the northern quarter of Wisconsin, so north of Rhinelander. And most of those nests were in the Lake District, which I believe you know a little bit about,
Larry. Spent a lot of time there.
Yes. And so there's this kind of clumping of nests in that area. And we thought that those lakes and surrounded by big pines were the perfect bald eagle habitat. But if you look at the nest densities in that map from 2019, there's still that cluster of nests in the Lake District. Yeah. But now you can almost define where the Mississippi River is by where there are eagle nests. And you can define the lower Wisconsin River by a whole string of eagle nests up and down that river. And there actually might be the highest ecologically, the highest nest density of eagles anywhere in the world on that Mississippi River, even higher than the Vilas County and Oneida County.
Wow.
And so it's telling us that these birds are doing things that we never expected in the 70s that they would do. If you read the reports of ideal eagle habitat, our concept of that was based on where they were left. But now with that success story, as the birds are expanding to these new areas of Wisconsin, they're using places that we never thought that they would have used, and now they're telling us what ideal habitat is really like. And it's a different story than what we thought in the 70s.
Yeah, it's really a big difference. I'm thinking here in Madison, to be able to see, Lisa, eagles flying around the city of Madison and nearby it warms my heart every time I see that. And there's a nice nest not far from the city.
Yes, I think we just brought out our bald eagle nest survey, as Jeb was mentioning, and we have a map in there that kind of breaks down by county how many eagle nests we confirmed that they had, either eagles incubating eggs or some signs of nest repair. And Dane County had 13, which is pretty amazing. I think, again, back to that map from the 1970s, there was nothing in the southern part of the state. So just to see those numbers is really wonderful. And even right now, we've got Madison Audubon has started a volunteer group that actually is helping us monitor eagle nests from the ground. It's difficult for us to do some of the low altitude flights in airplanes that we need to do to check on these nests. And so Madison Audubon has been checking those nests for us, and now they've expanded to some of the surrounding counties. So citizens are playing a big role, and I know that Fairy Bluff Eagle Council does some ground monitoring as well. And so citizens have played just a growing role in helping us keep tabs on these eagles and making sure that their populations are, going in the right direction. So that's been another exciting part of the story.
Cindy in Mauston has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Cindy. Thank you for calling.
Hey, Larry. Thanks for taking my call. I'm an over-the-road truck driver, and I was out in going from Iowa to Nebraska, and I happened to go on the one route, and in this one field that had been flooded out in the Nebraska area, there were about 2 to 3 dozen eagles. And it was just like, there was one taken off flying, and I just thought it was a hawk or whatever. And then I seen the tail, and I looked again, and then I looked in the field again, and you could tell it was all eagles. And I'm an eagle fanatic myself, and I just don't have the opportunities here in Wisconsin when I'm home to go do stuff, because I live in southeast Wisconsin. But it was just, if I could have stopped quick enough and gotten a picture, I would have done it. I think I would have spooked all the eagles, and they would have been gone.
When was that, Cindy? Not long ago, or?
It was earlier this week.
Yeah. Well, this is a kind of the time of the year, isn't it, that we see more eagles together as a group? Jeb, maybe?
Eagles are highly territorial when they're on their nests, and so much so that as the density increases, they actually can injure each other in territorial disputes and so on. So they're very, very territorial during the summer. But in the winter, when weather conditions require it, they will concentrate. And so you can 2 to 3 dozen eagles in one spot during the day is a lot.
Yeah.
But it's possible if there's food there. And so maybe there's a carcass or two that were out there that birds were feeding on, and they're concentrated in that area. So they do concentrate in winter areas where they've got the right food. but they also have access to that food. So if, you know, carcass is on the ground and we get the 5 inches that, you know, our forecast for tomorrow, that carcass disappears for all practical purposes for eagles. And so they have to look for other foods. And but when there's open water, you know, they can see their food all the time. And so food availability varies tremendously over the winter period. So food can be there, but whether it's available or not is a different issue.
Yeah.
So if snow covers it up or if ice covers it up, that food is no longer available. And so for eagles to really concentrate predictably in an area, they have to not only have a lot of food, but they have to have a place where that food is available day in, day out throughout the period. And that's one of the reasons why they tend to gather in riverine areas, is because they have that open water.
They have open water. And that's why we're seeing... And that's why this is such a great time of the year to have eagle watching days, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Not for the viewers, but for the eagles, it's great.
For the eagles, it's a great thing. And for, you make it easy. I mean, it's for a person to go and see eagles, even though it's cold, there's still good opportunities. There's lots of help and support. At eagle watching days, I've been there a lot of times, and it's the bus trips and everything else. You're not freezing to death out there.
The heated bus trips? Did you say that? Well, thanks. There's a lot of people who volunteer to make it happen.
And we'll talk some more about it. We're going to take a quick look at the news. I really do encourage you to go to ideas@wpr.org/Larry and take a look at the map from 1974 versus 2019 to see the number of eagle nests that have increased over that time. Lisa Gonnett's our guest today, outreach and communications specialist with the Wisconsin DNR. Jeb Barzin from the Ferry Bluff Eagle Council. They'll be back right after the news, and then we'll talk some more about eagles, so you stay with us. Ah, the sound of an eagle there. We're talking about bald eagles on the show today. Larry Mueller here with my two guests, Lisa Gonnett and Jeb Barzin. Lisa, an outreach and communication specialist with the Wisconsin DNR. She helps coordinate and publicize information regarding bald eagles in the state and community events celebrating their comeback. Jeb, of course, a wildlife biologist, been a member of the Ferry Bluff Eagle Council for 30 years, 31 years actually, and directed their eagle research. So, great to have them along. We're talking eagles and eagle watching days. So, what questions do you have about bald eagles? Love to hear from you. You can give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. Or if you've got a comment or an experience to share, love that as well. You can also send a photo to ideas@wpr.org. If you've got an eagle photo you want to share with us, we'd love to see that as well. And you can email questions along with that. As a matter of fact, Lisa and Jeb, we have a photo from Steve of a bald eagle nest on Fish Lake in the town of Roxbury. That's a beautiful shot that Steve got there. And I look at that nest. That is a huge, enormous. Well, it's not as big as some I've seen, but it's a pretty good-sized nest.
Well, if you look at the eaglet in the nest is just about capable of flight, if it's not already capable of flight. It's hard to tell exactly from the picture, but it's roughly full-grown. And as a full-grown eagle, it actually looks like a female. That bird is going to be 3.5 feet long. Yeah. So you're seeing 3 feet of it. And so that means that nest is roughly about 5 feet thick.
Yeah.
So the height of, you know, many of us. They're tremendously large nests, and they get added to every year.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I want to go back to eagle watching days, Lisa, because there and Jeb, because there are so many events going on as part of this, do you want to fill us in? First, where do we go to see for this Eagle Watching Days event that's this weekend?
Sure. Eagle Watching Days has a lot of different venues in Sauk City and in Prairie du Sac. And the great one of the great things about this event, other than it's free and it's got events for eagle lovers of all ages, is that there's both indoor events and outdoor events. Great opportunities to see eagle in the wild at overlooks. There we have DNR staffers and others that'll be there. There are bus tours that depart from the River Arts Center. And at the River Arts Center, there's everything from live Birds of Prey show put on by the Schlitz Audubon folks. They bring their eagle and other raptors and, talk about each one of the birds and then often walk them around so you can see them up close. And that happens at 10 o'clock and then at 2:30. And in between, there's all kinds of activities. Some Art and Don Shigoni will do presentations about eagles in Native American culture and a live show with Laughing with the Animals with David Stokes is always very popular with families. So just all kinds of great things to come out. So you get, again, that great mix of being able to see bald eagles in the wild in a beautiful setting, and also then being able to come indoors and learn from people who spent their lives working with rehabilitated eagles. So it's just a great event. I always love going, and when I'm not working it for the DNR, I come with my family.
Just to come and have fun.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Bonnie in Shorewood has something for us here that may relate to Milwaukee. Hi, Bonnie.
Hi. I walk almost daily in Kletch Park, which is on the Milwaukee River Parkway, and we have a pair of juvenile eagles on that river almost daily. And they're very visible. We walk right up along the path on the river, and you can almost see them daily. So I'm thinking there's got to be a nest around here somewhere.
Well, so Bonnie, describe the juvenile birds, not for yourself because you know what they are, but for the other eagle or the other WPR listeners and eagle enthusiasts, describe what you're seeing by a juvenile bird.
They are very large, much larger than any hawk, not to be confused with them, and they do not have the white head yet. They have the dark head.
Okay. Now, one of the interesting things is it takes eagles approximately 5 years to molt in that white head and white tail, and you can see a wide variety of brownish, essentially, plumage before they get to be 5 years old. But the other thing that's just fascinating that we're learning about these immature eagles is that they can travel enormous distances even if they're hatched locally. So a colleague of ours, Brett Mandernack, has put satellite telemetry equipment on eagles from Iowa that many people are familiar with, the NESCAM eagles.
And yeah.
One of those eaglets has gone from Iowa, where it fledged, and it's gone all the way up to Great Slave Lake, which is...
that's a long ways.
It's a long ways. It's basically fairly close to the Arctic Ocean, and you can't go much further north before you start going south again. And so it's gone all the way up to Great Slave Lake, but yet it comes back to the general Iowa, Wisconsin, southern Minnesota area every year. And so, and we don't know yet where this bird is actually going to decide to place its nest. So that wandering aspect is something that can, is something we don't really understand very well. Now, that long story is really meant to come back to Bonnie in that it's really neat to see two immature eagles hanging out consistently in Milwaukee. And it might mean that they could try to establish a nest territory there, but it also might not because these birds can travel so broadly in their area. It's hard to interpret what, even if they're there consistently, it's hard to interpret what those birds will do. But Milwaukee people, make that good habitat for eagles and they will come. If not these two eagles, then perhaps two others.
Bonnie, keep your eyes peeled for a nest. Keep your eyes peeled. Maybe you'll be the first one to report. And by the way, if somebody finds a nest in Milwaukee County, what do you do, Lisa,
sure.
in terms of reporting?
Sure. Thank you for that comment, Bonnie. And actually, we are looking for people to help be our eagle eyes of sort, because when we do our spring nest surveys, we send a DNR biologist up with one of the DNR pilots, and we go to the known nest locations, and we look for signs that, again, that eagles are incubating or other signs that they're actively nesting there. But we know that we are undercounting. We know that there are eagle nests out there that we don't know about, so we encourage people to give us specific information, particularly if they see nests in remote areas that we might not know about. And they can report. We actually have, if you go to DNR's website, dnr.wi.gov, and look up Bald Eagle, we have a web page, and in a couple of different places there are links to the email address for our survey coordinator. And so if you can give her some specific information, she can check that out. And as we start doing the surveys in March and April, she can have them check that out. So we are actively encouraging citizens to you know, turn in nests, again, ones that are remote areas that we might not know about.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so if you want a search image for what a nest might look like, go on to the WPR website, and you can see that Fish Lake nest in the town of Roxbury, which is very close to Sauk Prairie, where Eagle Days is going to be held on Saturday, and you can see what a nest might look like.
They're enormous. Kim emailed to ask that with so much success of the eagle, our population's numbers nearing levels to warrant delisting bald eagles. And aren't they delisted already, or are they?
They are. They're delisted from the state perspective, and they're also delisted from the federal perspective in terms of the Endangered Species Act. But they are still, as birds, they're protected in two different ways. One is under the Migratory Bird Treaty, and so they're protected from hunting or harassment or things like that under that treatment. And then there's also a specific Bald Eagle Protection Act. It's now a Bald and Golden Eagle Protection Act, I believe it's called. And they're also protected through that. So there's a little bit stronger enforcement for harassment of eagles or things like that. And so there still is protection on them, but it's much more consistent with a wider array of birds that are in our area.
Yeah. Join in with your questions, by the way, at 1-800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, or email us at ideas@wpr.org. David emailed that while we were talking about eagles along rivers, he was crossing the Red Cedar River south of Menominee, and circling above the bridge was an eagle, so it was perfect timing for him. And that Red Cedar River south of Menominee, that's a pretty area. And there's some nests over there too, aren't there, Jeb?
Yep, you can almost see the Red Cedar River as it flows from Eau Claire to the Mississippi River, and it's lined with eagle nests. So that's one of the places where eagles are concentrating and doing very well, these kind of medium-sized rivers that we have in Wisconsin.
There's a great river walk and a bike trail along that path, and you can see nests from that trail.
It wouldn't surprise me at all.
Yeah, no, you can. Oh, excuse me. Wayne in Luxembourg, we'll give you a chance. Hi, Wayne.
Hello. Today I just had like to add a comment. I live near the mouth of the Peshtigo River, and I had a few years back, I had a dead squirrel in the yard. And I'm sitting in the morning drinking my coffee, and a big eagle came down, did two hops, and grabbed the squirrel, and off he flew.
Isn't that a great sight? Oh, man.
I didn't know they ate a lot of roadkill, but I suppose they'll eat anything that's available.
Yeah. Well, we tend to call it carrion, which is a more scientific-sounding word than roadkill. But it is indeed what they'll eat dead animals where they can find them. One thing that I would caution, especially for drivers anywhere, but specifically in Wisconsin, they will eat animals that are killed by being hit by a car. And there's no problems with eagles eating that directly, but indirectly, it's a big source of mortality for eagles because an eagle perched on a carcass that's, say, on the side of the road, if it sees a car coming, it perceives the car as a problem and will take flight, but it doesn't perceive it until it's really quite close. And so often the eagle will be taking flight and the car is zooming by at 60 miles an hour and the car will hit the eagle. And so eagles being hit by cars and killed by cars is a major source of mortality, at least of the known mortalities that we have for eagles. And so if people, all they need to do is if they're seeing a big, you know, bird on the side of the road, just to slow down. Slowing down 10 or 15 miles an hour can mean the difference between the eagle being able to clear that area or not.
Yeah.
And so it's a simple thing that people can do, but a really important thing.
Had that happen on many occasions, actually, where I've come along and I always hit the brakes and slow down. But it should slow down anyway just to get a look.
But I think the Department of Transportation would not want us to hit the brakes necessarily real hard for birds for safety issues. But slowing down, just letting your foot off the gas, you can, you know, slow down 10, 15 miles very easily.
Pretty quickly.
Yep.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Well, lots of callers online. Wayne in Luxembourg, your turn? Or did we? No, we just did Wayne. I'm sorry. Wayne, thank you for calling. Pat in Madison, let's go to you. Hi, Pat.
Hi. I just was hearing about changes to the Migratory Bird Act by the Trump administration and wondering how this affects the migratory birds in Wisconsin, specifically the eagles.
The changes, there really aren't changes in the Migratory Bird Act. The act itself has not been changed. What is being changed is the interpretation of the act and what is construed as a harassment for a bird or taking of a bird, and that interpretation is changing. And so it's being interpreted that there would be less enforcement of things that might be a problem for birds. The alternative part of that explanation is that there's less inhibition to types of development that can occur. Now, that's a good thing unless it really is a problem for birds, and then it's a bad thing.
Yeah.
And so it's a hard thing to adjudicate, and I'm not in enforcement, and I'm not my background isn't all that helpful for allowing you to better answer than that. But much of it is in how we actually try to go about that. And there's certainly more than one way of going about trying to deal with these issues when people are coming into conflict with animals. And so, for example, since we're talking about eagles, one of the things that Ferry Bluff Eagle Council has tried very hard is to use our data to work with people to avoid conflicts rather than requiring the Migratory Bird Act to say you can't do this development or you can do this development. We've tried to avoid that. So as an example, when they refurbished the Highway 12 bridge going through Sauk City, going across the Wisconsin River, we worked with the developers who were refurbishing the bridge, or the construction workers who were refurbishing the bridge. And the Fish and Wildlife Service was saying, well, come November, you have to stop, because it's eagle season and we don't want to cause a problem for eagles, which is correct. Mm-hmm. But what we also know is that early in the winter, the river is very wide open and most of the eagles are downriver by Lone Rock and not upriver by Sauk Prairie. And it's only when the weather gets really cold that the eagles shift from that downriver location to an upriver location. We said, look, you can't pour concrete when it's below freezing, you know, for the most part, in the site that they were looking at. And it's when it's below freezing that the eagles are going to be expected to come upriver and be potentially harmed by your activities if they're occurring during the winter season. We're monitoring the eagles. If you agree to shut down when the eagles are upriver, we can protect eagles, but also not
extend your time and be able to work.
And it worked beautifully. And so There's different ways of going about it. So I don't want to get into the politics of whether that's a good way or a bad way to influence what how the Fish and Wildlife Service implements the Migratory Bird Act. But there are other ways of trying to deal with these issues I think are really productive.
And actually, that's one of the reasons why the nest surveys are important, because it gives us that up-to-date information. We know where the nests mm-hmm. are, and we can help advise landowners on how to avoid disturbing them and still allow them to get their projects done. So that's, again, why we encourage people to let us know if they know of nests that we might not have on our know about right now, and we can add them to our list to check out.
Bill in Delafield, your turn. Hi, Bill.
Hi. Pleasure to be on the air. It's a really fun program.
Thank you.
I've got a fun story. I was driving. I live right by Lake Degawica in Waukesha County, and I was driving past when the ice started to form a couple weeks ago, and I saw what I thought was a couple of turkeys on the lake right at the edge of the ice. And so I drove past and didn't think much of it. On the way back, I drove again and stopped, and I realized that it was actually a bald eagle and a not yet piebald, I think maybe immature, maybe female eagle. Mm-hmm. But they were just hanging out on the edge of the ice, and the bald eagle especially got up into flight and was kind of messing with a bunch of like ducks that were right there too. And it was fun to watch. I was sitting there with my kids in the car, and then eventually that eagle got up, was flying, and I thought he was going to mess with the ducks again. And then he just dove into the water, got a fish, went up to a tree that's right on the edge of the water that's by where our house is, and just had some lunch. It was just a fun thing to watch, and I was surprised. I was like, why would there be turkeys on the ice of the lake? Because they were so big. It was clear they weren't hawks or anything, but I guess I'm wondering, do you know of eagle nests that are in the Lake Country area, or is there one?
Yeah, but let me ask Lisa. There's one in that area, isn't there?
There are. I'm actually looking at our nest, and thanks, Bill, for sharing your story. Actually, southeastern Wisconsin saw the biggest increase in 2019 in occupied bald eagle nests. It went up 27%. And I'm looking at the map. It looks like we have four, the ones that we know about. There are four listed in Waukesha County, 12 in Jefferson, 2 in Washington County, 1 in Ozaukee, 4 in Sheboygan, 4 in Racine, and 1 in Kenosha. And again, those are just the nests that we know about. Racine and Kenosha counties have recently had nests that were made known to us because of citizen calls. So, again, great to see that eagles are moving into southeastern Wisconsin, and we're excited to find more and hopefully help Milwaukee remove that goose egg.
There you go. And, Bill, you got to take a look at go to WPR.org/Larry and take a look at the photos of the occupied bald eagle nests in 1974. And then this year, this past year, 2019, you're going to be amazed. And you'll see where the eagles' nests, at least the ones we've identified, are located. Well, here we are. Bald Eagle Days, the 17th and 18th, right, Lisa?
Yes.
And lots of activities. And where do we go? And you can go to where do we get an on-site look at where all the things that are going on? Where do we go for that?
Sure. Well, you could go for the Bald Eagle Watching Days, the 17th and 18th this weekend, you could go to the Ferry Bluff Eagle Council website. They have it right on their website. Or if you also want to, DNR, we've posted that on our Eagle Watching website. And we also have links and information about some of the other Eagle Watching events that we know about. There's one the 25th up in Kakana, and then one on the 27th and 28th in Prairie du Chien, and also one March 7th in Ferryville. So we've got links to those. Those are the ones that we know about. And if there are other Wisconsin events that we don't have listed, we'd certainly like to know about those. But, again, all kinds of great activities at those events.
A lot of fun. It's always a lot of fun. And here we are out of time. Lisa, Jeb, thank you so much. It's been a real pleasure.
You're welcome. Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Oh, Ferry Bluff Eagle Council website is ferrybluffeaglecouncil.org, and Ferry is F-E-R-R-Y.
There we go. And I thank them both, Jeb Barzin and Lisa Gonmetz from the DNR. Jeb is, of course, with the Ferry Bluff Eagle Council. I'm sure we'll talk with them some more about eagles at some point. Thank you for listening, and please do stay with us. Lots more in store here on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mueller.